Welcome to the First Baptist Barberville Weekly Sermon Podcast. At FBC Barberville, our mission is to gather, grow, give, and go. Join us for live worship on the Court Square in Barberville, Kentucky, or to learn more about our church, visit fbcbarberville.com. Here is Pastor Tyler Shields.
Well, didn't these kids do a wonderful job? Amen. They don't know this, but they've got some fried chicken waiting on them in the back. Our guest speaker, President Gritton, I've had the privilege to hear him speak a few times at the annual meeting of the KBC. He gives a report also to our mission board on a regular basis, and I know you're going to be blessed by hearing him speak. So make welcome President Larry Gritton of OBI, please. Wow.
Good morning. Okay, if I move this, I'm going to move it anyway, even if you don't tell me I can. So, all right, it's great to be with you this morning. What a wonderful, healthy spirit you have here in your church. You can tell it's a loving place, but a church ought to be that way, right? If it's not, you're in the wrong place. So, great to be with you today. I've grown to know and love your pastor. Got to know him through KBC work and the mission board. I appreciate the opportunity, the invite. We might have kind of invited ourselves, I don't know, but sometimes in meetings we'll throw out and say, hey, we've got a choir and some open dates where we're looking for guest speakers, pastors to come and visit us on campus and speak in chapel. But you all are partners in our work. Brother Tyler addressed that, mentioned that just a little bit. But as you give to the cooperative program, a portion of those dollars come to us to help us do what we do. That currently amounts to about 15% of our annual budget. But then beyond that, you folks just give directly to us. I cannot express to you our gratitude properly to let you know what that means to us. It's amazing how the Lord calls people to partner with us. And that partnership with OBI is a partnership in the gospel. And you're helping us to take the gospel to the nations. But as you can see by looking at our choir, just a little sampling of our campus as a whole back at home, you can see the world comes to this little place at the head of no place called Oneida, or as you know us, OBI. When I hear someone say OBI or call us OBI, I love that because I know that they know us. I know there's an affinity. Almost everywhere we go, folks want to say Oneida. Now in Tennessee, they get it wrong. In New York, they get it wrong. In Kentucky, we get it right. It's Oneida. Now, a good way to remember it is, we need you, Oneida. We need your support. But you are great financial partners, prayer partners. And again, we thank you for that. Would love to invite you to come and be on our campus at some time and just get a better sense of who we are and what we do, what goes on a daily basis. I'm curious to know, everywhere I go, I ask this. I'm sure I'll see a lot of hands in here since we're kind of in your backyard. But how many of you have been on our campus at OBI? All right, looks like I'm going to say about a third of the room. We'd love to have more of you. We have chapel almost every school day. It's a good little day visit or trip. You come and take a little tour of campus, go to chapel if possible. We'll feed you lunch. We eat pretty good at OBI. But it's a special place. If you want to get a good, unbiased, impartial, objective opinion about OBI, I'm probably not the right guy. OBI is in my blood. I've grown up there. My parents are on staff for 20 years. And met my wife there. We met in middle school as students at OBI. We returned after college and were on staff for a good while and then ran off to Florida. Somebody needed to go suffer for Jesus in Fort Myers, Florida, so we volunteered. We spent 9 years down there in a couple different Christian schools, a couple different pastorates, and then about 11 years ago, the Lord called us, led us back home. OBI is my home. I've been there most of my life. The years away for me, 4 years in college and 9 years down in Southwest Florida, those were all, looking back now, years of preparation for the Lord to prepare us to come back and serve in a different capacity and lead at OBI. It's a privilege to work with young people like these. I hear them week after week. And I told John Monday, our choir director, on the bus this morning on the way over, almost every week, I'm not an emotional person, but I almost well up just hearing them, seeing them, watching them lead in worship, worshiping with them. And I'll tell you what that is. That's pride. Pride can be a bad thing if it's handled in the wrong way. Scripture's pretty clear about that. But I also believe pride can be a great thing, a beautiful thing, to be proud of our young people, to be proud of our institution and our work, to be proud of our families or our children or our church. And so we have great pride in what we do and our young people. They come from all over the world. They've grown and grown this year and keep adding students to it. And so I used to rattle off all the places they come from, and there's so many of them now, I can't remember them all. I'm getting too old to do that. But I'd encourage you to talk to them, perhaps, if you're around after service, or maybe you're joining us for lunch for some of that gospel or Baptist bird that your pastor mentioned. Engage with them. Maybe talk with them. Ask them where they're from or their story or how long they've been at OBI, how the Lord led them there. But anybody that's been at OBI any length of time has their own OBI story. Part of my job as the president of the school is to tell that story. And I try to do that based through Scripture. That's one of the easier parts of my job, perhaps one of the more enjoyable parts, is to tell our story. I believe that story tells itself because I often tell the stories of the people of OBI. What is it that makes Oneida Baptist Institute a special place? What is it that's making the experience for each of these young people tremendous and unique? It's the people. It's their peers, their classmates, their teachers, our support staff that work with them, our staff that are called there to come and serve sacrificially. You give sacrificially to help us do our work. Our staff come and serve sacrificially. And so it's just a unique place, and it's a privilege to be here with you today. If you have your Bible with you, perhaps it's hard copy, it's on a device, whatever you're comfortable with. Before I tell you where we're going, I'll ask our young people. I said I hear them sing every week. They get stuck listening to me speak most every week. So I'll ask them, young people, got any idea of what scripture I'm getting ready to go to? I'm going to get crickets probably to tell you they don't ever listen to me. So what is it, Cedar? Acts 1:8, that's one. Anybody tell me another one? We're going to go double up on Cedar. You got the other one? 19, good job. Matthew 28:19, both those verses are intertwined, and week after week they hear me say that. I probably will mention or reference those later because that, I believe, is a nice snapshot or synopsis of OBI and what we do in our work and missions and promoting the gospel. But I'm going to throw them a little bit of a curveball today. I felt led to maybe go a little bit different direction. So we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45. Maybe next week I'll ask and see if you guys get that one. Isaiah 45:3. Would you turn there with me? If you're able, would you stand with me as you're finding that or found it? We'll honor the reading of God's word together this morning. Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 3. That says, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that it is I, Jehovah, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this great church. Thank you for your work here through your people. I pray for your continued blessings upon Brother Tyler and others as they lead and serve together. Father, thank you for their partnership with OBI. Thank you now, Father, for this opportunity to share about your work at OBI. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Just pray, Father, you'd reveal yourself to us in these next few minutes. Thank you for the great privilege of sharing, professing your word today. I ask, Father, you'd hide me behind your cross. Our prayer and desire is more of you and less of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, Cedar referenced Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:19. One of those tells us that we are to be about the business of witnessing. We'll be as a place that witnesses. We promote the gospel. We point our young people to Jesus. One of the amazing things about our work is you don't have to be a Christian to come to our Christian school. And I love that. Many of our young people will find Jesus. They'll meet Jesus. They'll encounter Jesus. If they already know Christ, they'll be given opportunity to be mentored and grow in their faith. If you don't know Christ, though, we're going to introduce you to him. And so we witness to the world. We do it in our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, as you can tell by looking at our choir. And then Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission tells us to do what? It tells us to do something. It begins with a short little two-letter word. Anybody know what that is? Go. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? Sometimes when we're not willing to go, it might be complacency. It might be laziness. It might be lack of faith. It might be a level of comfort that has been provided and given by the Lord that we then use to say, no, Lord, I won't go. I'm not comfortable going. I'm comfortable where I am. Don't grow too comfortable where you are. My own experience in life has been when I'm most comfortable is when the Lord moves me. But we have to be obedient. I don't believe in delayed or partial obedience. I believe in immediate or full obedience, whatever it is that God calls you to do. It might be to go to the other side of the earth. It might be to go in a way that you partner with OBI. Part of what your role in the Great Commission, promotion of the gospel, might be to give. But our staff, some of them go. They come to us. They uproot. We have staff from Colorado, Florida, Tennessee, Brazil. Of course, a lot of folks out of Kentucky. But they come and they serve and they invest in our young people. And so we're called to go. Are you willing to go? If the Lord says, go. To go ye therefore and do what? To make disciples. So OBI is a place that makes disciples. A disciple is a follower of Christ. A Christian, we love Christ. You're like Christ. We follow Christ. So you witness first, and then after you've introduced them to Christ, you can disciple, help them to grow in their faith. So that's part of what we do. It takes people like you, though, to enable us or help us to do that. It's not all about dollars, but that's part of the picture. It takes money. It takes dollars to do the Lord's work, and that's a way that you're partnered with us. Mentioned I'll probably go a little bit off path or script today, and what maybe has prompted that was a phone call that came into my office this week. I wasn't there when the call came in. I came in later in the day, and my assistant had written a note, and it said, someone named Bob, I won't give you his last name, but no chance you're going to know him, but who knows, but said, Bob called and said he used to be in your church in Florida, in Fort Myers, Florida. And so I knew immediately who it was, and the rest of the note said that he said to her he had recently read The Crucible. The Crucible was a little book written by our founder about our early days and how God provided as we began our work, or ultimately his work. Said he had read The Crucible, and he was compelled, or he was going to start giving to OBI. He was going to financially support OBI. Of course, as I got back in the office, I was thrilled to read that, hear that. I hopped right on the phone, and I called this gentleman. He had a great sense of humor. He'd also, in addition to talking to my assistant, he had left a voice message on my phone and acted like he was someone from the IRS. He said, I'm calling, looking for you, and you owe us money. And it kind of sounded official for about the first 20 seconds. And then I realized who it was, and so I called and got on the phone with him, but we kind of affectionately knew him in our church and our circles as One Arm Bob, One Arm Bobby. He had one arm. He had a great sense of humor about it. But the first Sunday, I went into this little church in Fort Myers, Florida to fill the pulpit. He approached my oldest son, who was probably about 10 at the time, my son Trey. And I don't know about your pastor naming his son after a baseball bat, but I named my son after a three-point shot. It's Trey. He's actually Larry the Third, But this gentleman, One Arm Bobby, he approached my 10-year-old son and kind of pointed at his missing arm or limb, and he said, "Don't play with fireworks, young man." He thought, well, yeah, ha ha. He wasn't joking. He was not joking. That was his story. As a kid himself, at about the same age as my son at the time, maybe about 10, he finds this device somewhere out in yard or field or somewhere near where he lived, and he brought it home and had it in the driveway. He was playing with it. The thing, whatever it was, it went off, and it blew his arm off. He said he went into the house to find his mother and to show his mother, and he said as soon as his mother saw him, she passed out. She hit the floor. Can you imagine? You know, try to picture that scene, but he had such a great sense of humor. It's part of who he was. It's something the Lord used in his life to probably give him maybe the ability to connect with people and talk with them and make them laugh and make them comfortable. But I knew this gentleman's story from having been his pastor for a couple years, and his father had developed this device. I don't know exactly what it was, but it would go inside of an oil pipeline, primarily in Alaska, and it would go through the pipelines and clean the pipelines. And so as you can imagine, there was a lot of income or money that came from that device, development, invention, patent, whatever it was. And so this friend of mine I'm talking on the phone with this many years later did pretty well for himself, pretty well off. And so part of my role as president of OBI is to handle finances and hopefully make connections and partnerships with people that may or may not lead to financial support. Again, it's not all about that, but it takes dollars to do what we do. And so after leaving Florida and coming back to OBI to this role, I had reached out to my friend Bob before and said, hey, I'd love to get you connected to this place where I'm back at in Kentucky, and they had family in Ohio. And I said, you ever coming up to see your kids and grandkids? Just swing by and over in eastern Kentucky to Oneida. I'd love to show you around. Hadn't been able to accomplish that. And so about 3 years ago, we went into this project of a new, we were calling it athletic complex at our campus. Now, some of you had your hand up, you've been to OBI, it's probably because of athletics or sporting events. Maybe you've been to our gym for a ball game or tennis courts for a tennis match or something else. But our fields are all down in a floodplain. We're surrounded by water. Goose Creek runs along our campus, and it floods our fields. And so we had this blessing. A couple blessings came in to enable us to try to go to a little bit different location, still in a floodplain, but to raise it up. And we've been blessed to construct a new turf soccer field and synthetic track. But as we were getting into that project, it was kind of in the height of COVID. And so in October of 2020, we'd been that fall back in school and then out of school and shut down. If you remember that whole scene and period and craziness and what it was like. And I decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to get on the road. It's a good time to do it. We're not in school like normal. You know, we were online school, whatever that's worth. And I'm going to go down into, I went into Alabama, all the way down to Southwest Florida, to Fort Myers, Florida, where I had lived for 9 years and made connections and began to visit people. And so I was staying with two dear friends for 2-3 nights, and they're in their neighborhood, and they'd been to visit my church a couple times when I was pastor there. They didn't attend there, but so they had met my friend Bob and his wife Barb, and they said, you know, remember Bob and Barb said they just moved into our neighborhood. They live like right around the corner. They told me which house, so I'm going around there to see them. I go around, knock on the door, and remember the kind of the whole scene, the height of COVID. It wasn't when I knocked on the door, of course, they realized who I was, but it wasn't, hey, come on in and sit down and visit with us. It's one of those weird, just stand in the doorway and talk. Now, I'm kind of a free sweater. I sweat, and this is October in Florida. I mean, it can be a scorcher. I'm standing there sweating profusely trying to talk to them, and I don't necessarily remember. I must have given them a copy of The Crucible, the book that I mentioned he said that he had read. So I get on the phone with him just this week, and he said, I read The Crucible. He said, I was moving some stuff around in my house, and I had this stack of books. Maybe you like that. I've got one of those next to my easy chair in my living room where I like to sit and watch a ball game. Although I'm glad I didn't watch that UK game yesterday. They won. I heard it was pretty ugly. But anyway, he said, I had these books, and I was moving stuff. I was going to get rid of them. And so I see this little white book called The Crucible, and I thought, what is that? So I said, I'm going to read that. So I began to read it, and saw the name Oneida in it, and he said, I remember that's where Larry is. So he read the book, said he was moved by it, compelled to reach out, and he said, I want to give. Now, I don't know if his gift's going to be $5 a month, or I don't know what's, I know situation well enough to know it's probably going to be more than that, but I mean this in all sincerity when I say that every gift the Lord sends our way is valuable to us. The Lord brings it all together. We do receive $5 monthly gifts. We have a dear friend in Pennsylvania that sends us 50 and 75 cents at a time to help us do our work. It takes us more money to generate a thank you letter and put postage on an envelope to send that back to her than the gift itself. But that's the widow's mite, is someone giving sacrificially to us. But the Lord brings it all together. And so I share with you today Isaiah 45:3. Have anybody ever been on a mission trip? All right, any of those overseas mission trip? All right, I was blessed as a younger man to do some of those. I mentioned a young lady got to meet today that's from Brazil, that I'd been to Brazil, and we have some Brazilian students. We have some Brazilian people on staff, but I was blessed to go to Brazil, amongst other places. But the Lord, as a young man, I was about 19 years old, and taught me a valuable lesson through this scripture, Isaiah 45:3. I had been on a mission trip with something called Sports Reach, where you go through sports, and that's how you use and share, promote the gospel. So we went with a basketball team, and we went into China, communist China, had the opportunity to play basketball, share the gospel and our faith, even though it was still pretty closed at that time. We had to be careful in China how we could do it. And so I'd been on that trip 1 year. The next year, I'm in college. The head of that organization is a great man of God. He called me, and he calls me Grit. He said, hey, Grit, you want to go back to China with us? I said, well, I've got to work this summer, make some money, you know, help myself a little bit. I'm in college, and went last summer. I don't know. I said, well, I'll pray about it. And so I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord said go. And the Lord gave me this scripture right here that I read, Isaiah 45:3. I'll give thee the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places. And so ultimately, I believe the Lord said, you're to go on this trip. We had to raise your own support. It was $2,500. That was years ago. I can't even imagine what it'd be now. It'd be two or three times that, I'm sure. And so I called my friend back. I said, I feel led to go, and I know the Lord's going to provide. And so there were dates that came along that this amount of the money was due, this amount was due, and nothing was happening. Well, through whatever efforts I was making, nothing was happening. And dates approached. I called my friend. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I know you eventually get the money, and the Lord will take care of it. So it came time to go on a trip, and I didn't have the money. And so guess what I did? I called my grandmother. My dad's mom, everybody called her mother, even the grandkids. Now, mother had lived through the Great Depression, so she hung on to every penny that she had. But I was her favorite grandchild. I have about 50 grandkids. So I called her. I said, Mother, could I borrow $2,500? She said, okay. And you had to know, Mother, everyone wasn't going to be, I'm going to give you $2,500. I'm going to let you borrow $2,500. And so she wrote a check. She sent it. I go to China. I do the trip. I came home, and I thought, what? Now I've got $2,500 I got to pay back, and I kind of couldn't understand, but I believed on and held this scripture. I'm going to, for sake of time, kind of fast forward, but the Lord provided that. You can say, well, it was a mix-up at the bank. It was this, it was that, but the head of Sports Reach called, and he said, hey, something kind of goofy going on here. Called my grandmother, said, no, money, you know, it left my account and went with it. The Lord provided. Somebody said, well, your grandmother took care of that for you. Nope. You had to know my grandmother. And so the Lord provided that. I'm not giving you all the details, but the Lord provided for that. Now, fast forward to today, the way OBI operates, if I were to give you the picture of our financials, you'd think it's nuts. You'd say, that's insane. You'd say, that won't work. Or it might work for a little while, but it won't last. It has worked. It has lasted. And why? Because it's the Lord's. The Lord has his hand on it, and that's how he works, provides for OBI, and you're a part of it. It's amazing how the Lord fuels or funds our work. Any of you go far enough back with OBI, and I see it's 11:45 up there, so I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to need to know, is the 10:45 start time so you can get done 11:45 and beat the Methodist to restaurants for lunch, or is... Yeah. Okay. I'll do my best to kind of get moving here, wrap up, and close up. Your pastor ever say he's going to close and keep on preaching? I didn't hear too many chuckles. Maybe he doesn't do that. Most churches, you hear a lot of laughing. You know, yeah, you know how preachers are. They're sneaky. I'm in closing about 25 minutes later. They're still going. And then you get an invitation and say, well, now we're going to sing one more verse of Just As I Am until somebody comes down here, down front. Know how that goes? But anyway, I'll speed this up. Any of you go far enough back with OBI, you remember knew the name Dr. Barclay Moore. All right, I see three or four hands. This month reaches 30 years since he went to be with the Lord. That's hard for me to believe. He's only 52. He went to be with the Lord. He was the president of OBI when I was a student. So if you have your hand up, you had your hand up, you know who I'm talking about. He was the best, most genuine, living, daily expression of Christ's love of anyone I've ever known. And I knew him as a young man. Probably didn't have the appreciation then that I should. But he had such faith. Faith in the Lord, faith in people. Passion is spilled out of him. He started talking about OBI and you couldn't stop him. If he were standing up here today, you would not be beating anybody to lunch. I promise you that. He loved OBI so much and he thought everyone else should love OBI just as much as he did. And if you were around him very long, he would pretty well make you do it. It just spilled out of him. But the faith with which he operated and led OBI is unimaginable, unbelievable. We go all the way back to our founder. I mentioned that book, The Crucible, he wrote. The early days of you convince these feuding mountaineers to lay down their weapons and to stop the fighting, the killing, the feuding, the violence, and to come together for the sake of the children in our community to start this school that would be called Oneida, Oneida Baptist Institute, OBI. You can't script like how OBI was birthed, and now we're into year 125 years later. It's unbelievable. So God raises up men and women, and today I tell our faculty and staff, we stand upon the shoulders of those who have come before us to continue God's work, and we're called there for a season. My calling at Oneida Baptist Institute has now, as a staff member, been getting into 18 years. I was a kid there and grew up there, been on my whole life, but two different stints on staff, 7 years and now 11 years as school's president. So far, my calling's been 18 years. If I felt the Lord said, your calling's up tomorrow, then I'd begin to make preparations to depart tomorrow. We're to be obedient. If the Lord says, go ye therefore and do what? Make disciples of all nations. That's what happens on a daily basis. I wish I could describe to you. I don't. All of our many moving parts and how the gospel permeates everything that we do, whether it's kids working on our farm or in our work program or playing on a ball team or singing in our choir, some other fine arts or the classroom, the dormitory, whatever it might be. This place is hard to describe. We're K through 12. We have local commuting kids from out of the hills and hollers of Clay County. We're ministering to some of the most vulnerable young people in the United States of America. I know that in my heart of hearts. And then kids come from around the state, around the country, and around the world. And they all come in, converge on this little place called Oneida. Everywhere I go, I ask, you know, folks that said they've been there, did you think you'd fallen off the end of the earth when you went there? Now, you're from Knox County, so you're kind of used to it, so that you probably don't have that feeling. But people come, listen, I watch families sometimes pull into our campus and maybe they've come from New York City, and they get out of the car, and they're kind of pale looking, like, what in the world? Where in the world? Where in the world is Oneida? It's right where it's supposed to be. God planted us there in 1899 for a very distinct purpose, to put an end to the feud. Our founder said that our children had been taught to hate from the cradle. He said, but let's educate them about the love of Christ. Let's teach them to love. And when you reach the children, the kids, you know what else you get to do? You get to reach the family. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. That's what a church does as well. Go get them. Go meet them. Bust them in. You bust them in. You feed them. You have programs for them. You get to minister to them. And so that's what we do. It's one of the things we began to do about 10 years ago. We brought our bus routes back. And man, it's a big challenge to keep that going. And bad weather, needing drivers, mechanical issues, everything else. And it brings in our kids. I brought your bulletin up. You still call it a bulletin. I don't know what it is today. But Right on the front, man, I love seeing that. The reason I brought it up here, gather, grow, and go. Gather, grow, and go. Some churches might say, reach, teach, and send. Send, go. Your part of going might be sending. But what is it that you're doing in God's kingdom? You say, well, it's time for church. People know. I mean, we're right here on Main Street, right? In downtown, is it Barberville or Barville? Right in Barville, right downtown Barville. They know church starts at 10:45. They know who we are, and they know what we have, and they know we have programs for the kids, and they know the doors are open. They just come on in if they want to. That might work, but you better meet them where they are. You better step, get out of your comfort zone and go meet them where they are and tell them about Jesus. Now, for me, I get to do that right in my own backyard, in my hometown, where I'm most comfortable, where I grew up, where I've spent most of my life, where I know God has placed a call on my life to be. I know no greater peace than knowing I'm in the center of God's will, that I'm where He wants me to be. We'd moved to Florida and primarily raised our children there. And when the call came, opportunity to come back to OBI to serve and lead in this capacity, my mother, you know how your mother's intuition, you don't even have to tell them something and they know. My mother could see the struggle in me, the struggle with, am I going back to Oneida or not, as I had to seek the Lord and make this decision. She could see that I was wrestling with this notion of bringing my children to Eastern Kentucky and raising my kids in Eastern Kentucky. Now, that was goofy of me to think that way because I grew up there, and I had a great life. I went fishing, I played ball, I hung out with my friends. That's what I did. I didn't know anything different. It was a great life, and my mother could see this struggle. And she gave me some counsel that I've always kept and carried in my heart ever since, and I share it with faculty and staff that are considering coming to us. But she said, wherever the center of God's will is for you, that is the best place for your children. I told Brother Tyler, you have such a healthy mix. I can see right here in your church with young people and families and adults, and we'll say seasoned people. I'm getting in a stage of life, so I guess I'm becoming one of those seasoned people. But kids and children, and raise them in the church. I believe young people need a tripod support system. That's how you can get the best yield and outcome. And that support system would be Christian home. That's got to come first. Church, Christian school, if you can get it. Some kids get none of that. Some get one or two of the three legs. Some get all three. I was blessed with all three. My wife had none of the three before she came to OBI. Very broken home life and situation. She needed rescued, and she was rescued as a sixth grader as she came and moved into our dormitory. That's how God works. I could tell you story after story after story of God's grace and provision, how He changed someone's life. He set them on a different path and course through the work of OBI. I cannot fully describe to you what happens on a daily basis at OBI, but I can promise you this. It's permeated by the gospel. Our young people are pointed to Jesus, and you're helping us to do that, and we're very grateful for it. I started with this. I'll close with it. Come and see us. We'd love to have you. I've told you a little bit about it today. You'll experience it a little bit with our kids. You've seen our kids. But if you come to us, it's a game changer. Our campus minister likes to say OBI is better felt than telt. If you come and experience it, feel it, see it, touch it, taste it, that's different. We'd love to have you as our guest, but thank you for your partnership in the gospel. Thank you for what you're doing here in Barberville. Thank you for what you're doing in Knox County. Thank you for what you're doing out and beyond in your Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the lesson of Isaiah 45:3, how you provide us everything that we need, sometimes from secret places that we don't even expect. Father, thank you for the opportunity to witness the disciple, to go and grow and to gather and to reach, teach, and send. Father, just thank you for the privilege of being some small part of your work, your kingdom's work. Father, I pray you take the remainder of this service. Help us not to be in a hurry, Father, to leave or go to the next thing, or our minds to wander, or to go to lunch, whatever it might be, but to trust you, to be obedient to you, and maybe a time of giving or invitation, whatever it might be, Father, help us to simply answer your call. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. I've heard many stories how OBI has been that expression of God's love in the lives of children, and he mentioned his wife was a child that was rescued through the gospel there at OBI, and I know there are countless stories just like that. Would you stand with us as we sing a closing song this morning? How deep the Father's love. And this morning, if you'd like to, maybe the Lord's impressed something on your heart, you'd like to come and pray for yourself, for someone else, maybe God's will for your life is God is calling you to fulfill that great commission in some way, whatever that looks like. Won't you join us as we sing?
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast. Please subscribe, but also join us live in person on the Court Square in Barberville, or find us on YouTube by searching FBC Barberville, on Instagram at @First_Baptist_Barberville, on Twitter at @BarbervilleFBC, or on our Facebook page, First Baptist Barberville.